ahead and get started. We are going to go into a partnership of representation in trials, but before we get there, and probably I'm going to try to finish lesson four today. If not, it's going to be very short. But we stopped at when we have a greater longing. Remember, I said especially my mom, okay? 86, in the side of my family, my mom's side, everybody has real bad arthritis. And that's where I'm afraid, because I'm starting to feel the pain and my bones are not sticking out like my mom's. But when it's cold, I can't stand cold weather. I can't move. But my mom, when I would talk to her, and we would take good care of my mom. We built her a house within my brother's house, and we took care of her. And she had everything. So my mom lived a good life. But when I would talk to her, she would struggle with a walker. She couldn't. So we bought her some crutches, and she was walking kind of straight. She liked that. But she would tell me, you know what, I long to be with the Lord. I'm ready. I lived my life, and I long to be with him. I am ready, she said. When we take a trip, especially the kids, and they're going to an amusement park, oh, they can't wait to get there, okay? You and I, when we accepted the Lord, we are on a long journey, okay? And some might live to be 101, some 80, some the Lord takes sooner. But First Peter 1:9 says, receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Okay? Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we ask your blessing. This morning, open our hearts, our minds, our ears. Touch our souls, Lord. Remove anything that would hinder us, Lord, this morning from receiving your word through the Sunday school lesson, Lord. Whether it's here or with Michelle, give her your joy, your peace, that she might give your word with a cheerful heart. Be with me, be with my wife as she'll be giving the Sunday school for the children. And most of all, be with our pastor, Lord, as he will be bringing your word, not just to your flock, but those that maybe come here. And I'm hoping that a lot of visitors come. But Father, may they stay. I know that some of them will be passing by, but Father, Goodyear is growing, and there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that need you, Lord. May you put in their hearts to look at our church, and may they come visit us, and may they receive you here, may they serve you here, Father. We give you the honor and glory. Prepare us for what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. The trials give us a greater anticipation of eternity and the end of our faith. You know that when we get there, we won't need faith no more. Oh, good, my family's here. Yeah, I should have waited a few more. No, I would have been late. But when we get there, that's one thing we'll put away, faith. We won't need faith. We are there. Faith is what led us to Christ. By faith we walk in the will of God. But when we get there, we'll put away faith, for we'll be in the presence of the Lord, okay? But it's like I said, my mom said, I'm ready. When trials, sometimes when we're hurting, And we're getting, notice when a young man, when I received the Lord at 23 years old, and yes, I accepted the Lord, but I was looking forward to see how I could provide for my children, what I could do here or there. I was so busy that the Lord's coming to me was far away, even though it wasn't. I mean, it's when the Lord comes. But when you get older and you're a step away, yeah, we don't know when the Lord, John and I and others were just talking about how simple it is for our life to be taken away. But for us, if the Lord was to give us 100 years, okay, I think I say, Lord, with 80, 85 years old, to me that's enough. But maybe he's going to, oh, yes, I'm going to keep you to 105, see. Yeah, but that's him, okay? But the closer we get to God in age, we start looking more to the things of heaven, and the things on earth will grow dimly strange to us. We'll focus, look at the older people, how they speak about the coming of the Lord. What it will be over there while the young generation that are saved, hey, what are we going to do? And they're looking, and even though they're Christian, they're focusing more on the things of earth, okay? But when we are going through trials, and again, many people that you go visit to a hospital, at a hospital, and they're in pain, but they're old, but they're not going to die, but they feel like they're going to die. Sometimes you and I feel like we're going to die and say, Lord, take me home. And the Lord, pow, 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 snap out of it. I still have plans for you here. And sometimes he does take us home, okay? But look at that anticipation. Let's go to Revelation 21, 1 through 4. It says, this is John again. John has not seen heaven. John, in his physical mind, he's putting things that can relate when he talks to the streets of gold. We won't need gold over there. In Revelation, gold represents purity. Everything will be pure. There's no need. There will be nothing from this earth that will be in heaven except for you and me, and we'll be there with transformed bodies. Okay? But look what it says there. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. See, here it's not talking about when the rapture happens. Okay, that's one step. And then the tribulation happens 7 years. Okay? And then after the tribulation, 7 years, the Lord returns here to earth for 1,000 years. And then after the 1,000 years, because even in the millennium, there is still a sea and there's still death there. Remember, the Lord is going to still, there's going to be some that are going to, even in the millennium, those that will rebel, okay, there's still death, okay? But after the millennium, this is what John is talking about to you and to me and to all of us that receive the Lord. And it says, again, he's anticipating. He hasn't been there. The Lord is talking to him and preparing him. Okay? And so, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Do you know that the sea represents trials and chaos? Remember, when have you seen the ocean? It's chaotic. When the Bible speaks about, and I saw as if it was a sea crystal, different type of sea, calm. When we are with the Lord, everything will go by, okay? And it passed by. And then it says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, from the third heaven, okay? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The church, too. That's the church right there coming down. Okay? This is after the millennium. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Okay? That's when we're in heaven, the New Jerusalem. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. And there shall be no more death. Okay? Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I look forward. When I'll be with the Lord. I don't know what kind of body it'll be, but it'll be perfected in Christ. And I'll get to know you. I'll get to know my mom and those that I knew that made it to heaven. The only thing is that I'll look at Tony as a teenager. And Pastor Cook, he's already hyper. Can you imagine Pastor Cook over there in heaven just running around? Perfect. It's amazing that we will be there. I'll be having my complete body, my other hand. But that won't be the joy that I have on the other hand. My joy and your joy will be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we look forward for that. Okay, but before that, we're going to pass through trials here, okay? And it says here now, I'm going to give you an illustration of it. Several times over the years, I have found myself at a loss for words as I have tried to comfort people in some great loss. Several years ago, I had my niece. She had a hard time getting pregnant. Her and Jerry Jordan tried, but they couldn't succeed. They finally, after about 5 years, said, Uncle, Theo, Uncle, I'm going to have a child. And the doctor says it's going to be a little boy. And we are going to name his name Vincent. And so we were all excited. And they were living down in Siloam, Arizona, way down there. But she came down and was coming down to, I think it was St. Joseph or I don't know, somewhere around there. And so the doctor, she was having, again, problems. So they moved to Buckeye. He's a mail carrier. And so everything was going good. She was all excited. 9 months into the pregnancy, a week or week and a half before she delivered, and you could see that little child going everywhere. It's amazing when you see them. And all of a sudden, that baby just stopped moving. And she felt weird, so she went to the doctor. And the doctor examined her. Vincent had choked with his own belly cord. He died. And so it was hard for me. Having to comfort my niece, I couldn't find words to say to her. And what I did, when the doctor came, they had the baby, they delivered the baby, and they gave her a few moments, and she dressed the child. I picked him up in my hand. And as I was hurting, I could see the hurt of mom and dad. And so I said, Lord, what can I say to encourage them in this time? I know that you have something for us here in the Bible to encourage each other. So let's look at 2 Samuel 12, 21 to 23. This is what I said to her. 2 Samuel 12, 21 to 23. Then said, this is David, okay? Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise up and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back? And this is what I told my niece, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. I said, do you know that one day, no, we won't see him here, but one day when you and I go to heaven, that child will meet you there. Those loved ones that you and I have lost will be there. They cannot come back to us, but we, in the rapture, will be with the Lord. And you could see when I said that she would see him, and that smile that touched her heart from the word of God. The blessing. Okay? Peter, let's go to 2 Peter 1. I'm going to start with 12 through 15. Again, Peter had walked. By this time, Peter is on fire for the Lord. Okay? He's on fire for the Lord, and he has done many things. And the Lord said, Peter, they're going to crucify you. They're going to kill you. And has it, it's not in the Bible, but people say that Peter felt unworthy to die like the Lord did, so he asked to be crucified upside down, whether that's true or not, but it would make sense because he felt unworthy. But he says here in 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of the things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He's going to die, but he's putting you. Instead of people comforting him, he's comforting us. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Okay? Moreover, I will endure that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devices, fables, when we made known unto you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. He again is talking about, you know, but he spoke, I spoke to you. We speak to people. No, the Lord's coming. This new generation, they look at you like, but the Lord's coming. And this is our hope, that we live for him, not for ourselves. And that's the difference right there. So now we go into the partnership of representation in our trials. And it says here, as a believer, we are to imitate Christ. We are to grow in his grace and in a knowledge of him. Every day is to be a maturity process as we are challenged to be more like him. While we cannot identify with Christ in his perfection or power, we are privileged to identify with him in trials. Okay, Christ suffered for us, and the Lord himself said, if any man pick up his cross, let him deny himself. Let him separate from the world. It's going to cost you. Embarrassments, humiliation sometimes, death. Okay? Many people think, well, if the closer I am to the Lord, nothing's going to happen to me. That's a lie. The Lord can take you any moment. And when you get there, you'll understand why. But the Lord uses us as vessels, as tools for his honor and glory. And when we accept what the Lord is doing in our lives, we are going to live a successful and victorious life here because we're living it for him. Look at what it says in 1 Peter 2:21. Again, this is Peter talking. For even hereto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his footsteps. When he suffered, what did he do? When we suffer spiritually, physically, and financially, how do we handle ourselves? Do we panic? Do we go to the Lord? Peter learned to depend 100% on the Lord, and he was ready to die. Peter was, I don't know, he was about maybe 60-something when he died. But back then, 60-something was considered old. Okay. Then in Hebrews 12:2-3 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be worried and faint in your mind. Oh no, I'm going to have to go through trial. Well, the apostle said, and they were count worthy that they went through the trials. It says there that and they counted as joy because they suffered for the cause of Christ. And it doesn't mean that we're going to get in front of a car and get run over and because I have to know. But when trial comes our way, is there joy in your heart? Is there peace in your heart? I don't care what you're going through. Don't let the joy and the peace of God depart from you, because you know what's going to happen? We're going to become bitter. Okay, so we need to be very careful. And this is what, and Peter is telling you by experience how he thought he was it, and then he was going by his own feelings, and then Christ himself, he said, though everybody deserts you, yet will I not, and I'll die for you. And Christ looks at him and says, Peter, tonight, the rooster will not even crow two times before you deny me thrice. Okay? So he learned to humble himself and say, Lord, help us to keep our mouth shut when we have to, and help us to be an example. Now Peter has been an example to these people and to us, okay? So well, now we see a prophetic search. Look at again Peter, 1 Peter 10, 1 Peter 1, 10 through 11. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of type the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. And many waited for centuries for the promised Messiah. What great, again, they were waiting. You and I have the privilege of, we see scripture, and we can see that. But the prophet, again, remember the Bible was not written. God would speak to them. By faith, they would serve, and they were looking for. Oh, you know that they were looking forward to what the apostles went through, that they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I that are here now, yeah, they by faith was walking, but you and I have the Word of God so that when we go to trials, we can go to God, okay? We have not seen Him, but we have more advantage than others have, okay? So it says in Hebrews 1:1-3, and this is what I'm saying. The prophets long to see this day. We saw through the Bible what Christ did, how He died, He rose, and He's coming again, but we have that assurance, we have this anchor in the Bible. And it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in this last day spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, okay, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, okay? And it's, again, how shameful it is for us to think that multitudes believe the promise of God simply because God stated them, okay? Just God told them. And yet, we read the historical record of God's faithfulness, and we still doubt the word of God. We have Thomas as an example. He walked with God and all that, and he said, and unless I believe, when God had already told him, how many times have you and I not doubt? Because it's so easy to follow the Lord when everything's going right, but as soon as things go wrong, well, God, where are you? We start. That's murmuring like when Moses took God's people, Israel, out of Egypt. And they were all happy, and they saw the sea open, and then they saw the sea close on the enemies, and they're all excited. And pretty soon, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Doubting. Sometimes because we go to trials, do we murmur against God? Or do we grow in in Christ through our trials? Do we thank Him, Lord? Now I can see why You passed me through this, or I can't understand, but I know You have a purpose in my life. Okay. And so, but the prophets would look at him. Now we see a profound suffering. I'm not going to finish this time, but we'll finish with this: a profound suffering. And it's in 1 Peter 1 and 11. We're going to stop there. When it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Yeah, we're going through a lot, but your faith has taken you to accept the Lord, and there has to be a change in you. If I don't care how much you fail Him like Peter, but at the end, if you stay focused on God, God will strengthen you and use you and I for His honor and glory. Okay? But again, a profound suffering sometimes will go through trials here on earth just because we serve Christ. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll probably... I'm already at the end. I'm just going to go through this, and then we'll start on lesson five, which will be an admonished performance. That'll be lesson five. So next Sunday, I'll just go over these last verses, and then we'll go into lesson five. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we ask again Your blessing. Thank You for allowing us to be here. Clear our minds, our souls, our lives, Lord. Thank You for allowing us to be here, Lord. Thank You for what You did on the cross for us, Lord. Thank You for giving us Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for giving us Your Word. Thank You for Harvest Baptist, Lord. Thank You for our pastor and his wife. Thank You for God's people here, Lord. Do we have defects? Yes, many, Lord. But help us to love one another, to pray for one another, and help us to rebuke Satan, Lord, from around our lives and our hearts. Be with us this morning. Prepare the heart and the message of our pastor, which he has already prepared. And speak to us, Lord. And be with those that will be visiting us, those that are traveling, those that are under the weather. And we'll give You, Father, the honor and glory. In Christ's name we thank You. Amen. Amen.